Welcome back to Quiver, the Green Arrow podcast for the 18th episode of season 2, Deathstroke. I am one of your co-hosts, Amanda Konkin.
And I am your other co-host, Michael Cohen.
And we're going to talk to you about a pretty epic episode. Lots of secrets spilled, lots of...
Was it that epic,
it wasn't, well, the secret was things.
Was it really?
You know what? No,
I'm just being a jerk. Okay. I'm just being a jerk. Okay. I'm trying to get everybody all riled up right at the beginning. No, this was...
So much was happening.
This was the most epic episode of the season,
I think. Yeah, like, I think it was.
Stuff was set up and knocked down in this episode, which, yeah. Like, there's a moment with Isabel that we'll point out when we get there, that we were like, oh, they're setting that up, that's so gonna come back to bite him in the butt, and then it did, 15 minutes later.
Yeah.
So, I can't believe they crammed as much into this episode as they did.
And everything's coming back, because I remember with all these sort of filler episodes that we've been being like, where's the story? We haven't seen blood forever, what's going on?
Yeah.
And then we go, oh, wait, no, it all was happening, it just wasn't happening on screen. Yeah. So I guess that's a thing.
Yeah.
That's good.
So good.
Yay.
So good. Aww. And it was like a season finale.
Yeah.
But we still have 4 episodes left of the season.
Dude.
So more 2023. So 5 episodes.
Yeah. It's
so next week's a break.
Yeah.
And then 5 weeks straight through to the finale. So
it's gonna be pretty epic.
It's going to be crazy, because if this is the beginning of the ramp up to the season finale, what are they going to do? They destroyed half the city last year. Like, what are they going to do this year? I don't understand.
Oh my
gosh. Because we know they're going to top it.
That's insane. I just realized that. Wasn't the first season they destroyed half the city? What are they going to do?
Well, technically... Oh my gosh. Technically, it was the first season, but they did it at the end of the 5th season while simultaneously telling the first season story.
Yeah,
anyway, if you break it into a half an hour show,
then
we're watching season 6 and season 2 simultaneously.
Yeah.
I really want, like, when the whole series is done, I really want somebody to just go through and cut it all out.
It would be good.
And just have, like, however many seasons it is, if it's, like, 10 seasons, is, like, 20 seasons of a show.
Because that's what it would be. Oh, it's so good.
Because it's all going to work. Although, at a certain point, when they hit the 5-year mark...
Yeah, like, what are they going to
They'll be caught up,
to?
Right? So they won't be able to flash back unless they do a time jump.
You know... Oh, that would be so messed up.
Wouldn't it be great?
Could you imagine?
If, like, the end of season 5, it's like... Okay, so spoilers for comics that people may or may not have read. Oliver Queen dies in the comics, right? And then he eventually comes back in Quiver, in Kevin Smith's Quiver, which is the namesake of the podcast. That's him coming... He comes back to life in that, and you don't really know why until way later. Mm-hmm. Has to do with Green Lantern. but it would be really cool if, like, we get to season 5 and it's like him getting off of the island, right? And, like, or wherever he was, Russia, wherever he was. Well, I guess it was the island.
He did go back to the island.
And going back to Starling City, and at the same time, he dies in present time. And then we jump ahead to 5 years later and he comes back to. He's already back, and then the 5-year. Jump
you see what it is
explaining how he came back, like how he came back to life.
So good.
And when you jump ahead that 5 years, okay, so the end of season 5, beginning of season 6, he's got the goatee. He's got the mustache.
Oh, nice!
Because, like, future Oliver has the mustache and
they do the thing we always wanted on Smallville, when you finally admit that they are the superhero that you, like, always want them to be, and they come and they're so iconic, and it's just... Anyways,
wouldn't
that's
be
our,
the
that's
greatest?
Our, that's
if
our,
that was
that's
season
our Q
five
canon,
finale.
Just for everyone's aware.
That's Q level canon.
I like it. I think the thing is, I don't expect them to disappoint us. They've got something in store. You know what would actually be pretty epic?
Us.
You know what would be pretty epic as well? Is if right now there's stuff happening that we don't know, or maybe there's, like, another character that they're going to introduce, and it'll be flashbacks on how that life intersected with all of these other things, and it'll actually be flashing back to what stuff we've already seen, and they would go replay stuff, and then they could bring back Tommy. Anyways, poor Tommy.
They can't bring back Tommy. No, they can't do it. Because if it's 5 years from now, everybody's going to be older. So they can't they'd have to avoid Thea, because Will Holland will be the one who's aged the most, because she's the youngest, right?
Yeah.
Anyways.
That was upsetting with Lost. Anyway.
How Walt was so central to the first two seasons
and then
irrelevant for the rest of the series.
Because they're like, oh, right, you grew 2 years. You're supposed to have grown 30 days. Like,
yeah.
Oh, anyways.
Anyways. Let's get to an email. This is an email from John Swinimer, and he says, hi, Amanda and Mike. First of all, thanks for a terrific podcast. You two have a fresh take on podcasting, and it's always a nice way to spend time during my long commute to and from work.
Yay.
I have a theory that I want to share with you, and it's more of a prediction for the finale than anything else. If you remember the first time Ollie sees Sarah in Starling City, he's startled because he says he saw her die before on the island. So we already know that. We've talked about that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my prediction, for what it's worth, is that Sarah is going to die on the island and in Starling City at the same time in the finale of the season.
Ooh.
Perhaps this may lead the way to Laurel finally becoming the Black Canary, something fans of the show predicted way back in season one. It's not that I have anything against Katie Lotz as an actress or the current portrayal of the Black Canary. It's just that's how I see things playing out as this season comes to a close. Especially in light of how the writers like to mirror the island activities with those in Starling City. I thought I would put that prediction out there for discussion. Keep up the great work and all the best. P.S. It would be really cool if you could get Steve Glosson or Derek Russell to join the podcast as guests. I used to listen to them on the Starkville House of L podcast. And still listen to them do Geek Out Loud podcasts. I was actually listening to a live Geek Out Loud podcast before Amanda got here.
Cool.
And Steve's going to be on an episode of the Rebels podcast, hopefully, at some point. Because of the way that we do Quiver, where Amanda and I are literally sitting in my living room talking at my phone, which is what we record on, it would be hard to get Steve and Derek on without them physically being in the room.
Right, yeah, yeah.
That's not to say that we couldn't do a special, so I obviously...
It would be a special episode, yeah.
Yeah, like, all... I will let them know, and Steve's always up for guest hosting on podcasts and stuff like that, or showing up on different podcasts. So I will float that idea to them, but you know how much more influential it would be if our listeners... said to them, hey, you guys need to go do Quiver. Like, they're going to listen to you guys more than they're going to listen to me. As much as, like, Steve's a good friend, and Derek's a friend, too. But we're all super busy, and figuring out schedules is a difficult thing. But if you guys say you want it to happen, then you'll pressure them into it. Then they'll
make
have
it happen.
To. So yeah, you can bug Steve over on any of his, like... If there's one guy who's got more podcasts than I do, it's Steve. But nice. he's my podcasting hero. So.
Nice.
Back to the predictions, though. Katie Lotz dying in Starling City and on the island. So she's going to die. I think it's pretty accurate she's going to die on the island.
I guess I'll see how they swing back around with Laurel, but like... I think that would then mean killing off the Black Canary, who's a really seminal part of the show, because I just don't think you can...
I would flip it, honestly, if that's the way that they're going to go.
Yeah.
I would flip it, and with what happened at the end of this week's episode, I would say it's more likely that Laurel is on the chopping block than Sarah.
Yeah.
Because Sarah obviously already has an integral part to play in what's going on. It feels an awful lot like Laurel is an incidental character in a lot of stuff, and she's reacting to a lot of the situations. So if you had to cut either of them, to me it would be Laurel, just because of the position that they've put the character in.
And right? this is always our opinion, is because we very much are on this. But like, it would be, I admit that it would be much more dramatic, or there would have a certain amount of oomph to it, I guess, if they did that, right?
If they killed Sarah?
Yeah, I mean...
The thing is,
the way I see it right now, they're turning Laurel either into a villain or into the Black Canary. I don't think she's going to stay who she is.
No.
So after this week's revelation, she's either going to become integrated into the Team Arrow, or she's going to become an opposition to Team Arrow.
Yeah.
And it'll be really interesting to see how that
goes
down.
Or she's going
to
get hit over the head really hard and forget what happened.
Yeah, or some... Right.
You no, know, that's not
They haven't
happen.
Done that. They're not
that's
Smallville.
A, that's a
They're,
Smallville
That's
trope.
A Smallville trope. And they haven't done that. I'm really impressed with the lack of retconning, actually, in this series so far. I don't think anybody has forgotten stuff so far.
Yeah.
That's impressive. If anything, they reveal too much, and then characters have a certain amount of stuff that they
Some
need
people
to.
Would get really mad and have to leave town
right.
so that they're not involved in everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's interesting, and I don't, like, personally, I don't want to see either of those characters go. I don't want that to happen. If I'm going to put anybody at the top of the list for the chopping block, it's Moira. Right?
Yeah, especially like, after today,
Especially
yeah.
after tonight's episode.
Yeah.
Like her reconciliation, I thought she was going to die before the end of this episode, right? Like, the second that she started her speech, I said, oh, she's dead.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Because, like, that's just, her character has just fulfilled an arc, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I think we said the same thing last season, that she had fulfilled an arc last season, and we were like, oh, Moira might not make it out of this. So who knows? Like,
who
they
knows?
Might, they
Maybe
might.
Because I didn't expect them to
we
kill
Tommy. We
didn't
expect them to kill Tommy.
Like, that was the thing. It's just like, we didn't expect them to kill Tommy. That's so upsetting.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll have to wait and see what happens with either of our potential, well, with our Black Canary or our potential Black Canary.
Yeah.
But I personally don't want to see Laurel transformed into the Black Canary, because it just... I don't think that it's as interesting for the character to do that.
Yeah.
But
so thank you, John. That's a good email. Lots of good points in that, actually.
Yeah.
In predictions. So let's see what we have going forward. I don't know how they're going to cram everything into 5 episodes. I don't know. There's a lot.
I don't know. We have one more email, though,
okay.
That I want to read from Ramona. Because that one, John sent his in during the week.
Right, so
but
it was just like a general
this one, yeah, it was just kind of a general thing. But this one's about tonight's episode.
Okay.
So this one's from Ramona, and she says, "Hi, Mike and Amanda. I don't think I haven't enjoyed an episode. I'm not speaking properly. I don't think I have enjoyed an episode of Arrow as much as I did tonight. I was very happy to see that they finally made Summer Glau, Isabel, do something more than sit in a seat and do dialogue. I was so happy to see her fight, and it was amazing. It was also very surprising to find out that she was working for Slade. I knew she wasn't completely trustworthy, and I was worried when Oliver signed the CEO position over to her. However, I kept thinking she was doing it for her own selfish motives. I'm curious in regards to Slade seeing/hearing Shadow.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that it's a result of the Mirakuru or the lack of sanity? If it's the Mirakuru, will it eventually affect Roy?
Ooh.
Also, any ideas as to where Roy's heading at such a breakneck speed? I'm thinking Central City.
Yes.
Can't wait to hear your reply, Ramona." So one of the reasons I wanted to read this is to talk about Roy.
Yeah.
So that we don't get caught up with it in the midst of the episode.
Yeah.
There's a possibility that he's heading to Central City. I think it's unlikely, because as far as everybody knows on the show right now, as far as we know in this continuity currently, Barry is still in a coma.
Right,
so
yeah.
They made mention of it at the beginning of the episode. At the same time, if there's one person that Roy would think of that could help him with the Mirakuru, it would be Barry.
Right,
because
he is
Mr. Science Guy.
That's
so,
true.
Although he wasn't really around during that part, I'm sure he's heard about it. So it'll be a very simple one line of, they won't stop talking about Mr. Science Guy, right?
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm sure that they can write a better line than that. and he'll be going there to try and figure out how to fix the Mirakuru issue.
The thing is, too... you had a really good prediction, too, of him just being gone, because there's so much that they need to cram into the next 5 episodes, that maybe they just need him to go become Arsenal somewhere else. Like, basically, and then come back and save the day at the end.
Yeah.
Like, as just, like, in terms of the amount of stuff.
I think, because we've got an episode coming up, I believe it's episode 20, with some Flash villains, I do think that Barry's going to show up. I think that that's going to be
like a thing.
the debut of him with his powers. I don't know that he'll have a costume yet.
Right.
But I do think that he'll show up, and I really wouldn't be surprised if he showed up with Roy, and Roy no longer has the Mirakuru. They've figured out a way to neutralize it.
Interesting.
Right? And he also shows up in some sort of gear, right? As opposed to just a red hoodie.
Right, yeah.
I don't know. It's one of those things. I'm trying to remember who it was. It was one of the producers, I think, that said, this was all in the same conversation that they were talking about him eventually becoming Arsenal, that, like, he's going to get there. Yeah. It's just when he gets there.
Right, yeah.
And I think one of the reasons why they refer to it that way is so that we don't know what's going to happen this season, if it's going to happen this season.
Right.
So I don't know.
Leaving was a weird thing to me.
Roy leaving was very odd. It's notable.
Yeah, so it needs to be on purpose. Because we've mentioned so many times that this isn't the kind of show for hissy fits, right? This isn't a typical CW, like, I hate you and I'm leaving forever.
No, like, whole thing with Roy and Thea last week was specifically to put her in a vulnerable position so that Slade could pick her up and then everything could happen this week. And she could eventually find out that Malcolm is her father. Right? Like, that could have been a CW moment of them just using his superpowers as a reason for them to have a breakup.
And then just
add artificial drama. But it wasn't. It was artificial drama, but we're in on the fact that it's artificial drama. Yeah. It's part of the story that it's artificial.
Yeah.
And it's not artificial to the story. It allowed for very organic storytelling. So. Yeah. Like, that's where, I can no longer say that Arrow's the best written show on TV because I've seen True Detective. So Arrow is the second best written show on TV. And this is why, because every thread is connected to something.
Right.
There hasn't been a moment, I don't think, with the exception of maybe the Huntress, where we've felt, where we still are like, that really has nothing to do with anything. Like, like Huntress showing up last week really had nothing to do with anything. It allowed some characters to work out some issues, but they would have done that in another way had there not been a Huntress episode.
Yeah.
Suicide Squad, I would say, is in the same boat right now, but as we talked about during that episode, apparently it's connected to the finale. Yeah, so.
Which would be good. I'm so excited, and I keep having faith in these writers and this show to just be awesome. And I'm just looking forward to that. And
every time we underestimate them, they come back and slap us in the face and say, why did you do that? Why would you underestimate us?
Yeah.
So, I don't know, like, any time that we say something, I don't know if I want to say negative, but anytime that we're critical of a decision that the writers are making, I think that there's a very good portion of it that, speaking for myself at least, that that when I say that, what I'm putting out there is that I hope that they're ready to prove me wrong, right? That whatever they have in store is better than what we have them pegged for.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they're smarter than we are.
Yeah. And I remember that if I know we got a bunch of new people come on board and listen to us for the second season, which is great. But if you go back to those first episodes, the first couple episodes that we ever recorded, I remember us constantly juggling back between the idea, are they making superfluous decisions or are they making it all with intention? Yeah. And we really go back, you can see that from the first
episodes. One other thread that went absolutely nowhere. And that's Oliver's, the Queen Mansion housekeeper.
Who was in the first few episodes and we're like, she's going to be important.
It seemed like a really big deal. Yeah. Like, she seemed like a major character and she's going to be like a confidant of some sort. And like be this like the mother that Oliver didn't have because his mother was a rich, socialite, whatever. Yeah.
And she didn't go anywhere. You are right.
She never showed up again. She was in the first episode and that's it. Yeah. Like,
that was the one thing that was written in that probably had a cool plot line and then they just... Yeah. Anyways, you're right. That is, like, in terms of things that have been brought up. So
So fun. That's it. But that was a pilot. And pilots, they'll put things in and then decide that it doesn't work. So, thank you guys for your emails. Thank you, Ramona. Thank you, John. It was John, right?
I think so.
Thank you, guys. We always appreciate hearing from you guys. You can email us, mail@quipperpodcast.com, and let us know what you thought of the episode, or what you think is going to happen in the finale, and all of this stuff that's going on, because it's kind of crazy and hectic leading into these last five episodes.
Some people I know are pretty active on the social media too, so if you're sending us little notes on Facebook or on the group, we do read those all the time as well. Sometimes we're more likely to read an email on the podcast itself, so if you do have thoughts that you really want to share, I would say email is the best route to go. But I mean, we still, if it's more just a question for us, you can ask it on the page.
Yeah, if you're one of our 1,023 members on our Facebook group.
Which is so, that's insane!
It's so ridiculous.
I don't know if people know about this. I mean, we have our page, which is amazing. And again, a lot of that is because Stephen Amell is amazing and linked to the Quiver podcast Facebook page. So we have a lot of likes on there. But it's the group that really the
conversation
is.
We're trying to get to 6,000 before the end of the season. Which would be awesome. We're at 5,757. So everybody tell your friends to like
the page. Yeah. It would just be amazing. What a great way to go out of the second season with 6,000 likes. So we really appreciate it. It's a great community. Yeah. And I mean, it just makes Mike and I so proud to do this podcast and wanting to come here and talk to you guys each week. Yeah. And talk about great episodes. We haven't even talked about the episode yet.
No,
this
barely.
Is great. But,
it's well, good. Ramona mostly talked about Isabel, and we just talked about Roy. So.
Yeah.
But there's lots to talk about Isabel in the episode, so we'll get to we're going to get to that. But yes, it was awesome to finally have that character fulfilled.
Yes. And so thank you. Yeah, if you're wanting more conversations, jump on that group. The group link is on the page too, yeah?
Yep.
If you're wanting having conversations, people are being so good. We are going to try to do that, positive affirmation of keeping the group as kind as possible and as exciting and talking about relevant things as possible. There's a lot of people in there. I think people have dealt with spoilers really well without us moderating it, and people are dealing with posting things really well without us moderating it. There's a few people that obviously we do go in there and jump and try to curate a little bit, but mostly it's just you guys having conversations, which is really awesome. And there's a lot of DC tangents as well, which I really like, or just general comic book stuff.
Yeah.
How great would it be for us to have this really awesome community over the summer, so even without any Arrow, we can still have our conversations? So I think that's what the Quiver group will do for us over the summer. Now that we're thinking about that, winding down the season, I guess. Next few episodes.
Totally. Cool. Well, with that, let's jump into the episode, and I am going to hit play right now.
Yay. And we're seeing, after 5 years on a hellish island, all this. The island, not much Ollie this week. Actually, he was in that last episode, the last beat of the island, and he stood up in front of Slade, basically.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. It's Sarah. They're definitely pushing Sarah in an interesting direction. There's definitely something coming. I just don't know, what it is. So we have, because it was last, this is what they're saying in the previous thing on, that we are sending Hendrick, right, back to, because he can fix the boat. So Slade, as we are meant to leave, is going to leave.
Yeah.
On the boat.
We're watching the CTV feed tonight. Normally we watch the East Coast CW feed, but part of it got preempted. So we're watching the CTV feed, which is our CTV Canadian television.
Yeah.
It's not our only station, but
it's not, no, it's
makes
not.
It sound like
yeah, it is. Yeah.
I'm interested to see if the subtitles are different.
Interesting. Oh, yeah.
This is the first time that we've had to use the CTV feed.
Yeah.
So I'm keeping an eagle eye out for a scoff. If there's no scoff, we know it's different.
We know it's different subtitles. I wonder if they're all... I feel like they'd maybe all be similar and sent through the same...
Yeah, because it's interesting. Is it done by the network, or is it done by the broadcast network?
Right? Interesting.
So we're catching up with Thea in Slade's... town car.
I don't know why she would get in and start crying in the car. She didn't know him
that
well.
Crying.
Yeah, but she didn't know him that well. Why would you just want to get in a car with a guy that you sort of met once at your house? I don't know. It was a little.
Emotionally, she's not all there right now.
That's true.
She wasn't thinking rationally. She saw a familiar face. He offered her a ride home.
Right. And then he becomes scary. This is the first time that Slade's really been, I guess, to sort of this get out. Is really, it wasn't cool and collected or threatening. It was really just scary.
Psychotic.
Yeah, really genuinely scary, which is interesting. I think I have that coat. Do I have that coat that he's wearing? I feel like it's from...
And there's Brother Blood, the much more important part of whether or not Amanda has that coat.
But Brother Blood, Leather, who we were talking that we hadn't seen in a really long time. So he's back. Again, all the loose ends starting to come together. This was put in here that I sort of scanned over, but the idea that Iron Heights prison was getting too packed, that the jails are filling up, that was an interesting, a nice little put in that was realistic and paid off a lot later on. I don't believe that Roy is this bad at shooting an arrow. I don't know, just when you like bust that light right there. I don't know. It seems as though he would at least hit a little closer to the target. Hasn't he been practicing? Oh, I guess his head's not in the game. Sure.
He's not focusing. I don't know. Yet you've shot an arrow before, haven't you?
No.
No?
I don't think so.
Oh, we should... Oh.
We should go do that!
We did archery as part of PE.
Maybe I did it as part of PE. It would have been eons ago. That's why I can't remember.
It's harder than it looks. I mean, I was pretty good at it. But it's harder than it looks.
All right. I don't know. Maybe I'll have to try to shoot some arrows. That could be a fun thing. I'm sure there's a place where I can go.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that there's an archery range.
Look at Selena Jade being actually in the beginning, before Summer Glau. Interesting.
Who's that?
I don't know. I thought she was important. Who's Selena Jade? I don't know. But it's a name I haven't seen
in
a while.
Is that Shadow?
I think it is. But now you make me doubt myself. But that's just interesting that she's before Summer Glau.
So this is an important point. That Oliver has to go. It's the annual board meeting, mm-hmm. which annual board meetings are a big deal in major corporations because mm-hmm. it's when you kind of make decisions about who's on the board, who's not, that sort of thing. Yeah. I like this quip about his business suit.
Yeah.
I love his look to her is just like he's used to her jokes now. Yeah. They don't.
Yeah.
He used to give her this like really irritated look, and now he just gives her the like. Yeah, okay. But now we're back on the island, mm-hmm. and they're tying up Hendrik, and this one guy is like, this is wrong. Yeah. I expected him to die by the end of this episode.
Yeah,
but
I thought, the thing is, did he replace the cool mouse guy as, like, the Reverend or something? I'm just, like, really upset that they got rid of the cool mouse guy from, like,
I don't think that they got rid of the cool mouse guy. I think that he's somewhere.
He's just, okay.
He'll pop back up when it's important.
Okay.
But I think that's why I figured like this guy's gonna die because he feels expendable.
Yeah,
like,
he does.
He's a red shirt. Yeah, so yeah. You know, and he's just there to kind of voice this opinion of are we doing the right thing?
And
Sarah's just like she doesn't care. She just wants all of it back, right?
It flashed up a while ago, but Guy B directed this episode. If you're interested in following someone on Twitter, Guy B posts a lot of photos. You actually can find out a lot of what people are doing on set by following Guy B on Twitter, because he's a very active director.
And he's an awesome director.
Yeah.
And he's one of those... There's like five directors that they bring in to really like... When you got to nail an episode, you bring these certain people in. And same with writers, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And Guy, he's one of them. He I'm pretty sure he did a bunch of episodes of Smallville.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Always, like, important episodes.
Yeah, it is.
But here we go. This is Summer Glau returning. And I love it because she's just, like, she's playing up that ever since they went to Russia, she's been playing up this sweet, I'm just here to help angle, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, they had their little moment. They got to know each other. They...
Yeah.
Slept with each other and now they're buddies, right?
Now I like friends. That she just got called like the Wicked Witch of the East or whatever for the West by Moira.
No, who you're right. The East.
The East is the East.
She's the one that gets the house dropped on.
The West. Her sister was the East one. So it was a confusing reference that needed me to go out of it. But
all your Wicked fans are screaming at
Wicked
us.
Fans, yeah. Oh, I like Wicked.
Anyway, so Moira is here. And we're still standoffish here.
That tension about it.
Yeah, we had to kind of hammer that home so that later in this episode it's important that they reconcile.
Yeah.
Just in case you forgot.
Yeah. Size, okay. That's a new...
Yeah, nobody's scoffing yet.
No one's scoffing.
So he's calling Speedy.
There's a lot of those backstage... I don't know what those lights are, like those mirrors, considering it's a debate of two people. There's only two people that need to go into hair and makeup right now. It's just like all those lights are on for no reason.
Quiet.
Anyways, here we go.
They're vanity mirrors.
Okay.
That's what they're called, sure.
Yeah. That was a great moment, right? This idea that it was my fault. That was a nice little... Yeah.
There's a couple of those in this episode where they go like, oh, we're revealing a secret. Just kidding. It's just a joke.
Yeah,
yeah. That's good. Yeah, no, and it. I said it out loud when we were watching the episode the first time. Oh, yeah, Oliver doesn't know that Sebastian Blood is Brother Blood because he doesn't know that Brother Blood is called Brother Blood. He just knows, he just calls him the guy in the mask.
Right? And he sort of forgot about him. He doesn't call him anything right now. He just sort of
is
like...
he's focused on Slade.
Yeah, other stuff.
And then we also have Laurel reconciling with with Blood, which I thought was interesting because it seems a bit superfluous.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it does. But I think that... I don't know if they, like, wanted her to be in the episode or something, but they said she has a DA's badge, and I'm just wondering, does that just mean she's working for the DA, or that...
Yeah, she's back on in the DA's
office. She's going and maybe reiterating that.
Yeah.
Big...
Just in case it was unclear last week or you missed an episode.
Yeah.
So we start the debate, and the debate's kind of boring, and it would be a very boring episode if the debate kept going.
How insane was it that they filled an entire auditorium just for that one wide shot? That's a lot of
extras.
There's
a couple of wide shots, because there's the reactions and stuff,
okay,
right? Because once the video shows up with Thea, they made that crowd.
Yeah, I guess so. It's true. It's just...
What's impressive is that they didn't call us to be in the background for that episode.
Sad.
They should have.
They should have. We would have been great. We'll start letting them know. So
So the first question by Thea Queen, but really, there's...
she was about to say Slade.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah. Interesting. And she got cut off saying it. I didn't see that the first time.
But it's not time yet, so
it's
we're just going to fast forward through this commercial for The Pirate Fairy, Disney's latest Tinkerbell animated movie, being watched in the other room as we speak.
Yeah, that's so funny. I wonder if all the commercials are going to be different because they're Canadian, which is interesting.
They might
a lot
be.
More, a lot more CTV commercials.
They might be, yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, not so much of the CW.
Not so much of the 100.
100, yeah.
Sorry, the 100.
The 100
sorry,
right.
CW.
Right.
We didn't mean it.
Yeah.
And now here's our very rare Diggle and Roy moment.
Yeah, actually, is this one of our first Diggle Roy moments? Yeah. There, and Diggle has a lot to say in this episode, which is actually interesting because he doesn't often say a lot.
No, but he's the calm, sobering voice, right? Mm-hmm. So when he does speak later, it's with a lot of gravitas.
Yeah,
and it's very important.
Yeah.
I'll get to that when we get to that scene because I thought that it was really interesting.
This is a great way to incorporate Sebastian in that as well with the nice way. Look at this like through shot. It's like a nice one shot sort of, or it sort of guides you through the room, which I really like. I don't know, great camera work.
There's Detective Lance, Officer Lance, and his former partner or boss.
It's a really weird insert shot
of Malcolm.
It
Farley.
Is because they didn't have any other way of setting it up. I guess we're supposed to know that it was. I don't know. I think that there could have been a better way to have done that, but I don't know what it was. Like I don't know what it. But I mean, it works. We both laughed. I think when that happened though, because it was a little bit out of.
It was a little bit over the top.
Yeah.
But it was important for people who.
Yeah.
I guess may not remember, right?
Yeah.
Because it's been a while since we've dealt with why Oliver and Moira.
That's true. And it might not be clear to him.
Now, this is great because we get to the end of the episode and we find out that Slade's been doing all of this to distract Oliver so that they can hijack the bus, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, it's a two-pronged attack
because
he's attacking the arrow and Oliver Queen at the same time.
Yeah,
this is very classic Batman stuff where you gotta take out Bruce Wayne and Batman at the same time if you're Ra's al Ghul or Talia.
Yeah. And this is good. Like, she didn't really manipulate him at all into doing this.
No, it was his decision.
It was his decision. And it's not, right, it just was the cacophony of everything else that had been happening that he just was pushed to that brink and it was just like, Slade just set the circumstances
up. He says, please.
Yeah.
Accept this.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, that's the really
it's
incredible
crazy.
Thing.
Yeah.
If he had been thinking rationally, the rational thing to do is to appoint Walter.
Oh, yeah.
In his
step,
right?
Yeah,
like,
say,
like, Walter, you make the decisions for me while I deal with this, please. Because Walter is the one who owns the other shares
that
allow
his,
Oliver to keep the controlling interest, right?
Yeah.
So that would have been the logical, rational thing to do, but in the moment, because of how close Isabel's gotten to him,
it's good.
He just does it, right?
Yeah.
I love this aspect of Sarah, that like we're getting a little bit of her assassin training.
Yeah.
She's got the gloves on, and
yeah.
The attention to detail And the way in which they write these characters is just so good. Mm-hmm. Because, like, if Diggle was doing that, we'd be like, well, Diggle doesn't really have any expert knowledge of poison.
Yeah.
If Felicity was doing it, we'd expect her to be fumbly. But if Sarah's doing it, like, it's perfect.
Yeah, right? It's good. This is one of my favorite moments, and it's such a small
thing. It's so good. It's so good.
He's talking about the KGB here with the idea of, you taught me many, many things. I didn't see that before.
Yeah, I missed that.
That's
we were talking over it.
He's talking about the different kinds of bombs. Russian bomb, Japanese bomb, they both go boom. That's so funny. So, because this is a great Japanese line. Boom. That's amazing.
Congratulations, we are not dead.
Now what? Love it. Oh, it's
so good. He's a really good character.
Yeah.
But they're dismantling a
Japanese bomb
landmine so that they can get the TNT out of it.
Yeah. And his face is so good too. This actor, whoever they've got playing him, is really, I forget what his name is. But because Sarah doesn't have to do much, or Katie doesn't, right? And he just
other line, he says, "I was just wondering, when did you become so scary?"
Yeah,
because she's this unassuming, cute blonde girl.
Yeah,
but then
she's growing into
becoming an assassin, right?
It's crazy.
I always have to remind myself, she was on that ship with all those evil guys for a year.
Yeah, that's
for a year, right? Yeah. Like. We think of it like, oh, she's just been on the island since the beginning of the season. Yeah. No, she was on the boat all last season.
Yeah, that's something that
we didn't see any of it, but it was horrible.
True. It's true.
So now they've tracked Slade, but obviously Slade wanted them to find him.
Mm-hmm.
It's so great because he's like, what are you going to do, kill me? Because then you can't find out where Thea is.
Yeah.
He doesn't know that they've got the sleeping toxin,
right? Yeah.
But he's kind of like, he's playing into their hands, right?
Yeah.
They don't realize.
Yeah,
I would have expected somebody to say that was a little too easy.
Yeah,
right.
Well, I hope. Well, that's. I mean, that's Roy. That's what Roy is doing, right? Roy is sort of realizing all of these things, and really trying to be like, what is happening right now, or why is all this stuff happening?
Another commercial break here. That's weird.
It's the show again. Maybe they like jumped the commercial in some way. That's bizarre.
That was odd.
We're just gonna fast forward through the little part of the episode that we just saw because the commercial cut back in. Oh, you know what? It could have been because it aired at summertime. Maybe it got also preempted or something. No,
maybe no, because it's going into the commercial again.
Anyways, that's weird.
There might be some technical issues a little later with this then.
Yeah,
but we'll figure it out.
Well, we'll figure it out. It's a longer commercial break. We'll just talk to you about the... Now we're back at Detective...
Almost back.
It's the weird Ford commercial that we're just gonna watch the end of.
Okay, now we're back.
At the Starling Metro Police. Doesn't the police station always change? I feel like it was a different building before, and now it's...
No, I think... I mean, I think they've used other establishing shots, but it's been pretty consistent. And Slade is in police custody. They've handed him over to Officer Lance.
Right.
He'll always be Detective Lance to me.
Yeah. He will, because he is.
I think he's going to end up as, like, Police Commissioner Lance, but...
That'd be amazing.
That's maybe a little bit too much like Batman.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well.
If he makes it out of this season. Dun, dun, dun.
I want him to die.
Yeah. Of anybody that could be on the chopping block. Paul Blackthorne needs to stick around because he's one of the best parts of this show.
Yeah,
even a very limited role this episode.
Look at how he keeps getting. That was actually a brilliant thing that Ollie directly went to Detective Lance to Lance, and then his boss comes in and talks over him and goes, "Nope, I'm the one in charge." Yeah. I think he's undermined by his authority, or he recognizes that Lance is actually really good, or is good at his job, or I don't know, something. But it sucks that he's just getting thrown under the bus here, and it's not fun.
Well, you know, I think it's probably all part of it, right?
Yeah.
Because this is going to put Sarah off her game.
Yeah.
Oliver's off his game.
Yeah.
Right? Like, this is exactly what Slade said he was going to do.
Yeah.
He was going to splinter everybody. He was going to turn Oliver's family against him.
Yeah.
Like, this is all part of the plan.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible. Because a lot of shows try and do stuff like this, mm-hmm. but then they end up being really, like, heavy-handed with
right,
it.
Right, yeah.
Or they just don't write it with it, well, write their characters with enough complexity that you can believe it.
Right.
But Slade, both in the performance by mm-hmm. Manu Bennett and mm-hmm. in the writing, like, you believe that he's pulling all of these strings, that he can yeah. do it. And it all makes sense. He's not mm-hmm. the Joker. It's not yeah. just, like, somehow he's pulling all of this off. We know how he's pulling all of this off, yeah. right? Like, it's all very logical.
Yeah. And here he's explaining how he got off the island. He swam.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting...
And he was torn up by the reefs and everything yeah. regenerated okay. except his eye. It's the one thing that's never come back.
Interesting. It's sort of a thing that we're just leading up to. I just want to know how he lost his freaking eye.
An arrow.
I know, but, like, you want to see... It's happening, right? Like, that doesn't happen at the end of the season. I'm going to be very upset.
Oh, it's going to happen at the end of the season. I guarantee it.
It's like a thing. But this is a good... This is a beautiful moment here where you really get that... dichotomy between their personalities, this idea that it's still got a hold of you, kid, is when he's talking here, the idea that yeah. the island still has both of them, and yeah. that's why it's such an integral part of the show, which I think we often yeah, forget, for sure. or I often forget, right? And Ollie just not knowing how to deal with this. There's these beautiful moments, and Steven just does them so well, where he really just lets himself get overwhelmed.
This is, to date, his best performance in this episode.
I think,
this
yeah.
moment right here, where he goes, "You need me to beg? I'm begging, right?"
Yeah.
And he just, like, he sells it yeah. so hard.
Yeah.
It's in his eyes, right? Like, you look yeah. at his eyes, and you can't help but feel those emotions.
Yeah.
And you look at that, Slade feels it too.
Yeah.
Like, that, it's so good, but his anger yeah. overrides any sort of yeah. love that he has for Oliver.
Yeah.
But it's there, right?
Yeah,
and that's what makes
yeah.
it so good. Like, yeah. this is like the Obi-Wan-Anakin relationship where it's yeah. like, there's that camaraderie, yeah. that brotherhood
yeah.
that they had, and then somebody goes wrong
yeah.
and just keeps going down
yeah,
that path, and
that,
it,
yeah.
and it just drives that wedge, right?
Yeah.
It's the same
yeah.
thing in Smallville with Lex and Luthor, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Lex and Clark.
Yeah, yeah. Which is what it is, right? It's just that it's
heartbreaking.
There needs to be love there. That's the thing yeah, that I think that the strongest emotion is, like, hate is so strong because you have to have love. You can't have hate
yeah.
without love.
Yeah.
And it's just interesting.
Yeah.
It's this interesting dichotomy, and I think it makes it really yeah. strong. So it's
well, yeah. like in the geek fandoms, people that get really angry about something only ever get really angry because they really love something.
Yeah, yeah, of
right?
course.
Like,
yeah,
you only
you're
get really mad
it,
at Ben
yeah.
Affleck being cast as Batman because you really like Batman.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Otherwise,
not
like,
that you
yeah.
should, because Ben Affleck is awesome.
I know. Otherwise, you're like me. You're like, Ben Affleck. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens with that. This is where it cut out last time when we were watching it. So this is sort
yes.
of new for
so,
us.
Yeah. So we technically haven't seen this moment.
Yeah. It's where Diggle's following Slade in the car, and we had it right up till Roy in his position.
So we're watching this. So we're probably gonna go
yeah.
a little quiet.
We are. Yeah. So we'll. I mean, we can sort of
oh,
try to.
Oh, and then he's gonna lose.
Oh,
him.
Right. So now Diggle is. Being caught up, and it's all that. Basically, we sort of figured this is what we missed, that it was a whole bunch
yeah.
of them, the team.
Oh, but there's Sarah,
Slade.
So, like, they had backup.
They did. They're all, it's the whole team trying to track down Slade.
In the bike lane.
Yeah. And Slade being gone from the car. Interesting. All right. And that's, oh.
Oh, snap.
And
yeah,
so
he is all over them.
Yeah, so he just is, hacking into the computer and being able to actually manipulate the road systems. And this we missed with
Roy
being just running
as fast as cars
down the street, yeah, and just being caught up. This is a great shot. This whirly round in the middle of that intersection. It's a good one. And here is did we miss him actually telling Thea? Is that what you missed?
Oh, we may have missed a very important.
We may have missed a very important thing. Yeah, with
oh,
Thea and
yeah.
Slade. We totally missed all this the first time around. Oh, anyways, this is going to be better. I thought they didn't show it, and it was still emotional to me that that she knew, or that they didn't show this
yeah.
part. This totally sort of makes
sense.
We
were in Oliver's shoes.
We were.
Well,
we were in Oliver's
around.
Shoes. We didn't know that she had been told. So that's an interesting way to watch the show, for everybody that knows.
I love that. I'm curious to see what kind of a threat a 19-year-old girl can make.
Yeah, yeah.
Confirmation on her age.
Yeah.
She can drink in Canada.
Yeah, she sure can. I guess 18, you can sort of, like, run business. Can't you get your survey right when you're 18? I guess, I don't
probably.
Know. Yeah.
That sounds right.
That's good. So maybe it is valid. So, this, I think, I really do like this coat. I don't know what her, she's, Right.
Well, I like Slade's coat. So.
It is good as well. So this is exciting. He is just letting her go, but she's not gonna go because he is going to probably offer her an alternative. Which is, I don't know, this is exciting. Sorry, guys, we're just, like, watching this.
Yeah.
So, but you, if you do go, you may never know about your brother's secret.
Oh, ooh. So, okay, yeah, because they had to keep it suspenseful until the end of the episode.
Yeah.
Because it's, what's he going to tell
her, right?
Because we find out at the end that it's, that and Malcolm is her father.
Right, so that's what he told her. All right, good. So now we're caught up, and we have now seen...
Yeah, we've seen the whole episode.
Now we've seen the whole episode. That's the first time that's ever happened, where we just sort of dived right in. But it was good. We had to... It was an interesting way to watch. We watched the first one on the American stream, and then we had to wait for the Canadian... For the, like, West Coast
team
to catch up.
It's like a deleted scene for us.
It was when we were rewatching it. Oh, we're going to get a bunch of Northern Gateway commercials, because we're watching CTV. I don't think Americans get Northern Gateway commercials. But, it's an interesting...
No, it's not particularly their wilderness that's going to be destroyed.
Yeah, it's true. It's,
anyways, it is not ours. To get too political, although we do from time to time.
Yeah. a lot of the time. And we're back here. So this is where we picked up with the failed ambush of Slade. And the team... I don't know, where was Ollie during all of this? Is he just dealing with his... With her being gone or having to deal
with
Moira.
With his mother I guess. Like with the police or whatever.
Yeah. Ooh, there's an HBO little commercial tag at the bottom of this.
For Game of Thrones. Sunday at 9.
Sweet.
So excited.
Anyways, this is Roy. This is sort of Roy saying the thing that no one else, because he's been with them less, he's the one that's most likely to make these choices or to say these things. Because you don't really get a lot of tension within
this is river. Also very true to the character from the comics. Like, this is... Like, Roy constantly second-guesses Ollie in the comics. So, and there's a lot of friction between them. And eventually he leaves. He leaves being a sidekick, right? And he goes off and he becomes Arsenal. Like, that's where the hero name Arsenal came from. And then eventually he comes back and works with Oliver again later and joins the Justice League and becomes Red Arrow. So, like, that's his arc in the comics.
It's a good arc.
I don't know what it is anymore because of stupid New 52.
But more or less, they're going
to... Yeah, well, more or less.
I almost cried in this scene, by the way. So, this is the Moira, Ollie thing. And you always forget... Not in this, because this was heavy-handed, this idea of box of crayons with Thea. I just sort of rolled my eyes. But, like, later on, when it talks about her personal relationships, we always talk about this with Moira's character and her ability to flip-flop really well between sort of generic villain-esque mom and real mom.
Yeah.
Which they play really well when they need to. I don't know. I feel like there would be a real inconsistency if the actress couldn't pull it off.
Yeah, no, I mean... Like, going back to, as we were talking about season one earlier, in the very beginning of the series, I didn't really gel with Moira early on. And I mean, I don't think we weren't supposed to, particularly, because she was supposed to be played as, like, as the mysterious bad guy that Oliver doesn't know about yet.
Yeah.
And then later on we found out that it was Malcolm.
Yeah.
But she's so well cast.
Yeah.
She's so incredibly well cast for this role.
Yeah.
Because she does capture both of those aspects.
Yeah.
She can be that, like, the sort of badass talking to
Malcolm. Yeah.
And then she can also do this heartfelt appeal to her son.
Mm-hmm. And you believe both. Yeah. And because I think she believes both. Like, I think she has the capacity as a character to be both. And that's something that's so lost on network television is that people, they don't realize that you can write these complex characters and it doesn't diminish their character in any way.
Yeah.
And those are the problems with people trying to write villains, is that they don't feel as if they can have redeeming qualities. And I think that that's disingenuous. Where here, I guess we start on this idea that Ollie is supposed to be a hero, but he starts out as not a hero.
Yeah.
And it's this idea of complexity that they've written into all of these characters, which really emphasizes the relationships in the show and who these people are.
Yeah.
It's just absolutely beautiful. And so, like I say, this whole moment and her talking about how she can mess up her own children. Anyways, I thought it was
really fun. And it comes back later, right? Because Oliver mirrors that sentiment that he's so busy trying to fix it that and worrying about Slade that he didn't realize how much damage he was doing.
Right, yeah.
Right?
That we're our own worst enemy. And it's,
yeah,
it's
and just really, that if Theo is going to find out eventually,
yeah,
it would have been best coming from him. And if he had, when he found out, if he had told her, she would have trusted him.
Yeah.
But like earlier in the season, there was that moment where she said, and maybe it was even last week where she said, like, you're the only person who's never lied.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Right? And that's exactly, well, that was what they needed to set up with that moment from last episode, which I thought was really uninteresting moment.
And this was a bit of a curveball. We both thought that they were going to take Hendrick to the boat.
We thought they were going to the boat, but instead you've got Slade coming on the end, which makes more sense. I don't know, it just makes more sense that this is happening because it would be really hard for them to get to the boat. I actually realized afterwards, I thought it was going to be a big, like, to-do that they were going to need to take him to the boat. But, I don't know, it just seems...
I love this, that, like, he can smell the TNT.
Yeah, that's an intense power.
So good.
I don't know.
Well, all of it, he says all of his senses have been enhanced, right?
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
Yeah. I think Arnold doesn't say anything in this.
Is that a fake beard?
I don't.
It must be because he's clean shaven in the other scenes, right?
Yeah.
Like,
it's really good if it is.
Yeah.
Maybe they just filmed these on different days, maybe? I don't know.
No, I don't think. Not even a man as manly as Manu Bennett can grow a beard that fast.
How long does it take? Does it take a week?
Because
you could do it at the end
maybe,
of each.
Maybe, yeah. I guess he could do it in a week. Yeah. But
then at the end of each. The only thing that Ollie said on the island was no. That was just that moment. And then this is the first time Shadow has been in... We've seen her sort of pulling his strings, right?
Yeah.
What an interesting... It's so fascinating.
But it's subtle. It's not subtle.
It's not like...
Heavy-handed is kind of the word of the night.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's that... It's because they're so subtle on this show.
Yeah.
Whereas other shows, like Smallville, that would have been very much like she would have not only been telling him what to do, she would have been like holding the gun.
It
would have been like this weird reveal he would have been like having a conversation with her and then doing it.
They do it when they have conversations.
I like this where Sarah's got the arrow pointed right at him and right, like, this is one of his moments, though, because I think this is him going, like, he is out of control.
Yeah.
And he knows that he's out of control, but he doesn't want to admit that he's out of control.
Yeah.
And he's so focused on getting Thea back.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have to say, I noticed this the first time we were watching it, and I need to point it out on this second watch through. Emily Bett Ricard's performance in the background, out of focus.
Yeah.
In that scene was so good because she's out of her depth.
Yeah.
And you can see it out of focus, blurry, that she's overwhelmed by the whole situation in her body language. And it's just such a good performance.
Everybody
that adds
show
to the
just,
atmosphere.
It's really great. And so we have this reveal, which we didn't think was going to come in this episode, that it's kicking him in the butt in the same episode she's now the CEO of Queen Enterprises. And we don't know what she's done, right? He comes in and goes, "What are you doing?" And we're like, "We don't know what she's done because we weren't privy to that information until right now."
Yeah,
that she got the board to vote, I guess.
Yeah. So with her, she was given temporary powers.
Yeah.
To appoint the people that Oliver needed to appoint.
Yeah.
And so she used that to call an emergency meeting and have herself instated as the permanent CEO, removing Oliver, and the board goes with it because Oliver hasn't been around.
Yeah,
and so even when he was around, nobody liked him anyways. Yeah. Right, so this is a very,
like, easy in terms of business planning as well, though, just based on what Ollie's been doing, I'm kind of like, this is the best thing for your company. Like, it's not out of the blue, right? It's not something that we're like, because we're always talking about this, that we're like, why is Felicity always at his, why are they never at his office?
Yeah.
Right? And he's never there.
No, they've been setting this up. Right. They've been setting
And this up. Is what we don't know. The sins of the father she's fighting. I'm just going to watch this time because it was so out of nowhere and I was trying to figure out what they were talking about and it was just such a big reveal that I didn't get to
fully appreciate. She gets the drop on him at first, which makes her seem formidable because it's a surprise that she can do that. But I like that the second that he knows that she's dangerous, she's no longer a danger to him.
Right, because he comes back and he can really kick her butt.
Yeah, and he just puts her down immediately.
Yeah.
And now you're just fast forwarding through the commercials again.
Yeah.
It wasn't a surprise. It was just a surprise how it happened.
Yeah.
Right? Because we knew that eventually it was going to come out that Isabel is a bad guy.
But we didn't know how she was going to be a bad guy or what it was going to be. But it makes so much more sense, right?
How much of a lead they were giving it. Yeah. Like, is she going to turn out to be a bad guy next season?
Yeah, yeah. Or is it... And it, then it all comes full circle and it makes so much sense for what's happening in the end of
this. And for those who don't remember, Isabel was in the book. She was in the notebook.
And we're back here.
With all of the names that Oliver was going after last season. So that's... That Sins of the Father thing connects into that, obviously. Yeah,
which is interesting. She's got this evil, maniacal laugh, even while her face is smushed against a desk. Look at how great that acting is. I don't know, that just is really, I don't know. Good, I like her. She's
perfect in this.
Yeah. And so this idea that Ollie's doing exactly what he's supposed to do, and she's not threatened at all on him. So... It's kind of...
Well, she essentially gives away Slade's plan without giving away his plan. She's like, you don't think this is how he wants it all to play out?
Yeah. I don't know why he didn't clue into that this time, though, being like...
Because I think... Maybe I shouldn't go. Because he thinks... Oliver thinks this is the season finale.
Right, I guess so.
In his mindset, tonight we finish it, right? Because that's exactly what Felicity is saying, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I really like that moment where she's like, go do it.
And this one's for all, yeah.
Yeah, but it turns out that no, that's not the case. That's not what's going on.
But it is being set up sort of like we have now.
Oh, yeah.
Getting his whole outfit on and we're setting up for... I love it when they're doing this. They do this parallel thing where they're both coming to fight.
Yeah.
And then the show just dashes all of your expectations by doing the opposite of what you expected it to do. That's a good intimidating mask. And instead, Ollie gets thrown a bunch of minions to his feet. So.
Yeah. Which you think is just the prelude, right? Like, I was making comments that, like, oh, these poor suckers are just there to tire him out so that it's easier for Slade to defeat him.
Yeah.
But it really has nothing to do with it because these guys are just here to be a distraction while Slade pulls off the real job, the much more important task of getting soldiers for his army, right?
Which is what we get here. So we have this bus of prisoners.
So if the Mirakuru turns a good person, a semi-good person like Slade, into a maniac, what's it going to do to maniacs?
Right?
Like, oh, they're going to... Wow. If we go based on the super soldier serum principle... from Captain America, that if there's good in you, it amplifies the good, and if there's bad, it amplifies the bad.
Right, but and it's a thing. I love that bus was just driving in the middle of the road. Like, it wasn't paying attention to that street line at all. But that's okay. It's more dramatic this way. I like it. It's good. And you can just, you know, you're like, Ollie, stop fighting now. You're being distracted. I actually thought that Theo was actually going to be in there, but this is even worse, or even better,
because
we hadn't seen the thing, so we didn't know. I guess it's weird to rewatch it and not and like have to rethink your ending for the story, anyways.
And I just want to point out the awesomeness of Deathstroke's costume.
Look at that line! I did not get that line the first time. Halloween was 6 months ago. That's
you didn't get that the first time. Oh, I laughed at it. And then he just chucks the sword. Yeah. Throwing a katana like that is not easy. I love the subtlety of the purple on his costume because Deathstroke's colors are orange and purple, which could be very silly in the context of a show like this.
They could, but they do it really well.
But they made it, like, it's the armored parts, right? Yeah. They're, whatever that material is, it has a purple tint to it.
It's so great, yeah.
But it's just, it's so subtle.
Yeah.
That it only shows up in certain light, and it just looks really, really good.
Yeah. This is weird. I thought that, like, a bomb was going to go off or something. But the fact that Thea walked into the precinct...
A bomb just, kind of does go off.
It does. An emotional bomb. Yeah,
an emotional, metaphorical bomb. Not so much an explosive one.
Yeah. So it's good. I don't know. It's interesting. They still have the right amount of action in this episode.
Yep.
But it's mostly all just, though... But really, when you think about it, there wasn't, like, a big throwdown or the thing. It was just, like, the right amount of action based on what was happening. So...
Fast-forwarding through Transcendence trailers.
Yes.
And...
Interesting.
They always strike the balance every episode. Mm-hmm. There hasn't been an episode yet where mm-hmm. it's like, really, could you maybe...
We need more action.
Yeah.
I don't know, I've never said that. Can you
tone down the action and get back to the story?
Yeah, they do a nice balance, yeah, it's good.
We're back
at the precinct. Uri, did someone say Uri? Maybe it was supposed to be Ollie, but the I think they called him Uri. Anyways.
So far, no scoffs.
No scoffs, I know. It's but this idea that we're explaining that it was a diversion is what I'm looking, yeah. looking for. There's the word. And then we see, and this is a great moment with Thea and Ollie and Moira.
And you expect her to be happy to see them.
Yeah.
But, oh, is she emotionally damaged? Oh, no. She knows someone's secret.
Like, it's so fascinating because this is the Thea that's sort of the Thea that's sort of, like, this sort of whiny Thea that I didn't really like, but she comes back because it's her betrayal, right? She's not a confident... Because she did that well for so long, right? This confident sort of, I'm in charge of all these other things. But Thea finding out, right, and being broken down and being not as strong as she was before.
Well, she just found out that Darth Vader's her dad, so she's entitled to get a little emotional.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's... Scoff. There's a scoff. Okay.
And she says, do you have any idea? Yeah, you sound like her. Do you know what I love about this? Thea only talked to Ollie through this whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, it was brilliant. The way that they do that, you didn't even acknowledge Moira. Yeah. Didn't even talk. Like, it was great because that's the betrayal, right? Which is it's interesting.
Well, and that's the point. Like, that's what Slade was doing. He doesn't care about Moira getting hurt. Yeah. He cares about Oliver hurting.
Yeah.
But here's Shadow manipulating Slade from beyond the grave. But... She's saying things that we know she would never say.
Yeah.
So, which I think is a really important point. Mm-hmm. This is Slade. This is the Mirakuru taking form.
Yeah.
And using Shadow to manipulate Slade. Yeah. Like, there's something about the Mirakuru that mental break.
Yeah.
So, I'm really interested to see if Roy is leaving because he's dealing with similar symptoms.
Right. Oh, interesting.
Right? And maybe that's why he's going to find help. Like, that's why he's leaving. That's the only thing that I can think because he can't... Right. It's interesting. Like, here it is. You see it in his eyes. He sees Thea's safe. And at first I thought, like, okay,
he's going to go get her.
He's going to be like, I'm sorry, I should have never left you. But
instead...
No, he leaves town.
Yeah. And that, I was not expecting. Of all the things that I thought Roy would do at the end of this episode, it was not leave.
Yeah.
Right?
No, but I do think it's important. And like I said earlier, it's keeping with his character.
Yeah.
He has the throwdown with Oliver. He questions everything that he does.
Yeah.
And then he leaves town so that he can come back as Arsenal.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's what they're setting up.
Yeah, which would just
and
be
I
great.
Think it's, and it's what they're setting him up to show up for the end of the season.
Yeah.
And bring Barry with him.
Yeah.
I think that would be really good. But before we're done this episode, we've got to deal with Detective Lance, and there's some consequences for his actions.
And this idea, like, that he was right, that Wilson was the one that did it, and he's getting...
Yeah, Thea has said as much.
Yeah, and so this idea that he's getting arrested anyways because he's listening to the vigilante, which I just think is so fascinating that he's just becoming pegged down, which is just... upsetting.
It's funny because it's a half truth, right?
Yeah.
He says I don't know who the arrow is, which is true.
Yeah.
But he's protecting Sarah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like that's why he's not saying that's why he's not playing ball, right?
Yeah.
Which
is interesting.
And then we're here
the three bad guys getting together.
Yeah, and Blood's upset because he's not winning the election anymore. Now everything's in Moira's favor.
Yeah.
After all this stuff with Thea and Slade.
Mm-hmm.
But Slade's reminding him who's in charge. And
he said he promised him the city, but not necessarily as mayor, right?
Yeah.
So this idea that he's going to give him an army,
which
I think Blood is kind of going, I'm a politician, guys. Like,
as much as I like my scary mask.
Yeah. I'd like to do that.
And then there's that really subtle... Shadow being there in the background, just slightly out of focus.
Yeah. It's good. And that little smirky thing. It's
oh my god. It's so good. Yeah. It's so good because it's so ominous.
Yeah.
That now we know the full extent of just how dangerous Deathstroke is.
Yeah. Because right? it's all... That's... Yeah. It's just all her. Yeah.
Now this was the interesting scene that I was saying. This is... No Sarah. No Roy.
Yeah.
Just Team Arrow.
Yeah. Just them.
Just back to the core. Just the three of them.
Yeah.
And it's, I think it's important because after Roy questions everything and it seemed like stuff was falling apart and mm-hmm. it got under Oliver's skin as he's talking about here, mm-hmm. he made the wrong decision at every turn and he's his own worst enemy.
Right.
All of that. The important part is what Diggle says. Mm-hmm. Which is that he's not alone, yeah. that they're a team.
Right? Yeah, and it's so cool, because it is, we haven't had, like, these three core yeah. characters in a really long time. It's fascinating what this show can do in 45 yeah. minutes, right? It's just
it's
amazing
crazy.
That they've been everything
there was
back,
a movie's worth of information.
Right? There was. It's insane. But this idea of, that he can't stop him from getting in his head, this, Diggle... Because you're not alone, man.
That's what that when I said that's, earlier yeah, that he's like that sobering yeah. voice, right?
Yeah.
And then he says, now what, boss? And it's like...
It's yeah, it just brings him back to
yeah.
to what to do. And
there it is. There's the result.
Comes back
there.
With fortitude. Oh, what does he say? Yeah, now we fight back. There you go.
So good. Oh. So good. So that means these last five episodes... Five episodes!
Yeah.
If this is what they can do in one...
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Five more episodes. What's going to happen?
Yeah.
Especially with this
crazy.
Cliffhanger yeah. right here. We have a 1 week break.
Yeah, we do.
That's
yeah.
really mean.
I know, right? They keep doing that to yeah. us. It's upsetting.
I feel like if they wanted to, they could keep airing. Like, it's...
Oh, they're blaming... This idea that they just made a note on there that they're blaming a serious blunder on the department. He's going to blame Detective Lance
rather than
take the blame himself. I didn't realize what that was, but that's what that was. That's interesting. Because they let Slade go, which is interesting. So,
yeah.
Slade, this is so interesting the way that he's dealing with these women and being really, I don't know.
He's
straightforward. And
he's playing on their emotional yeah. attachments, right?
Yeah.
Like, he knows that
yeah.
that these are yeah. two people with trust issues.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that those trust issues are actually tied to Oliver, so he can really play yeah. on that, right?
Yeah.
As he said weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
He was going to tear him down.
Yeah.
Right? And it's...
And here,
he's
got
not
going to
kill him until he knows utter despair.
Yeah.
Right?
And
there it is.
Yeah.
And hopefully there's a next time on, because our next time on got cut. No.
Oh, it's a... Because Criminal Minds is on.
So we're in the dark. We're not going to be able to talk about it this week, but...
Where's Criminal Minds? Oh, I guess because we watched it on CW, but obviously yeah. CTV plays different shows, right? That 100
yeah.
is not playing on
yeah.
CTV.
I don't think so, at least.
No, I don't think so. But Wednesdays is, yeah.
Oh, but we're cutting back to the CW feed.
We are. Oh, yay. Which means that we will get...
Or something.
What a weird, messed up episode today. It is...
Yeah.
The CTV feed did not go as planned today.
No,
this definitely...
It's
they,
jumping around all
they
weird
jumped
too.
Back and forth. Usually it's not this much of the episode that they jump back in, but I do know that
yeah.
sometimes it'll jump back into the CW feed right at the end of the episode, and then you'll get the last, like, 10 minutes or something.
No, I think this is because of whatever happened before.
Yeah.
When it jumped around before.
Yeah, so...
Technical issues on... Issues. Yeah, because it's the same.
Yeah.
So, yeah, technical issues on both channels
yeah,
tonight.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully your viewing experience was all right for everybody.
Yeah.
With watching
Nobody Hero. Else... Nobody commented on the Facebook group
that it
about
was a,
any issues.
That
so I'm sure that everybody else...
Also, hopefully everything in America is all right. I know that they don't have interrupt new broadcasts for nothing, so...
Yeah, well,
hopefully,
definitely they don't bring the president
on for small stuff, so hopefully...
Yeah.
Hopefully that's all... Everyone's all right, and...
Anyways, we're just going to have to assume that next week's going to
be
an awesome
great.
Episode. Or
There's
2 weeks from now.
2 weeks from now. So we've got a little mini break for a week.
Yeah.
Which they do that so that our brains can reset and make speculative assumptions of whatever we think is going to happen in the next little
oh,
while.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we need some time to digest that information, yeah. Right?
Like, and they give us new interesting things. What is it? It's the Man in the Mask next week, or the Man Under the Hood?
I think so. That's what I'm just looking up right now.
Yeah.
Because we've got some pictures up on the website at quiverpodcast.com of that episode, The Man Under the Hood, which sounds about right, because if Laurel just found out, then that's what we're talking
probably
about.
That'll
we're
talking be about
The Man Under the Hood.
Which is nice.
But yeah, it looks intense. It looks like an intense episode.
The rest of the series seems like it's going to be a pretty intense run, right? I mean,
I think you mean season, because we're talking about an North American show.
Oh, so it's
not
a,
from the UK.
Okay, so season.
Yeah.
That's, sorry. It's terminology.
That's okay.
It's,
yeah, so next, April 16th, The Man Under the Hood. And then seeing red, which is the episode, I believe, where those Flash villains are supposed to show up. But when you title it "Seeing Red," I don't know, man. That says to me that Barry and Arsenal are showing up.
That would be great. Oh, do you want me to do a trivia spoiler for that on IMDb? It's not. Well, I mean, it's not a spoiler. But it says the episode "Seeing Red" was originally supposed to be the backdoor pilot for The Flash.
Yes.
So that's so the fact that they're sort of keeping it in line with that essence, I guess, is interesting. So it's a thing, exciting.
Yeah, and then City of Blood, and then we don't have episode titles for the last two episodes of the season.
But they're coming down.
And I wonder. Right now it says May 7th and May 14th.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they announced that. They made like an official announcement, right?
I think so. Yeah, so we know
like
when the next
2-hour finale.
No, I think
it would be really cool to get a 2-hour finale.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, my brain would explode with that much Arrow.
Yeah, but it would be a really long episode of Quiver. So,
yeah.
So I guess we should be thankful.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think that just about does it for us.
It does.
This week.
I'm going to plug something because I'm hoping that people can help out with it. But
next
week, if you're looking for something to do without any Arrow, you can jump on that Facebook group and talk to us. But you could also vote for, I'm wanting to do a documentary called The Geek Girls of Vancouver, because geekdom is really awesome here. So I'm going to post a link to that on our group. And it'd be great if people could, all I need is people to vote for it. It's a local initiative here in Vancouver. We have community programming, which I don't know if other people have, but the idea that cable channels have to commit a certain amount of money to local programming, and it's just the initiative to have a lot of more Canadian content and just community content online or on television. So TELUS, who's one of our big carriers here, TELUS Optik TV, is doing a contest, and I'm submitting to produce a 10-minute documentary called The Geek Girls of Vancouver, and Mike did a really awesome logo for it, so thank you, Mike, for that.
No problem.
And it would be awesome if people could support that. So that's my little plug at the end of this episode.
Yeah, and we'll post stuff on the group and on the page and everything. Mm-hmm. So you guys, it'll be really easy
for
you guys to go directly to the page where you can vote.
Yeah,
we'll make it as easy as possible, but if we can get everybody's support, that would be awesome.
Because Geek Girls of Vancouver are awesome! It's a great community. It's part of Story Hive, so it's a cool initiative. I hope that people have other things like that.
Well, and I hope that you're intending on having somebody interview you as well.
Oh, that would be... I don't know. Well, I never thought about that.
You never thought about putting yourself in it?
It's like slightly narcissistic tendencies.
I would think that being the host, one of the hosts of Quiver, as well as being the creator of Blankverse, which is a web series based... I mean, you've got Joanna, who is one of the creators of Standard Action.
Yeah, if people watch... she's really great. We're going to interview her, hopefully. Standard Action, it's a web series about... It's sort of a fantasy comedy web series.
It's a D&D web series.
D&D, yeah, basically.
It's D&D web series.
Which is kind of interesting. So Joanna Gaskell, local creator here, so hopefully we'll have her on it. And there's a lot of Nerdlesque. I don't know what people's opinion on Nerdlesque are, or if people are aware that this exists. I don't know.
Yeah, it goes on other cities as well.
Like, I guess it does, but it's sort of, it's nerdy burlesque. And I don't know if this is a new thing. Maybe people that watch Arrow don't necessarily... cavort in those kinds of communities and know that this exists, but it's a thing. There's a lot in Vancouver. There's like Nerdlesque. There's actually a Nerdlesque, a tribute to Doctor Who, happening right now in this city.
Yeah,
so it's
as we speak.
So it's kind of cool. Anyways, I'm really hoping to cover a lot of the geeky, awesome things in the city, which is fun. And Yeah. So thank you for that in advance for voting.
Well, in order to keep up to date with that and everything else that we're doing, because I have another podcast that is launching later this month, towards the end of the month, with Curtis, who guest hosted on episode 12 of Quiver this season. So that's coming soon. And if you want to know about stuff like that, you want to know what's going on with Arrow and with Quiver, the best places to do that are all of our different social medias and on our website. So you can always check us out online at www.quiverpodcast.com. That is our website. And Tim does an awesome job of posting all of the latest news. As we said, there's a great article with pictures from the next episode of Arrow up there. And as previews come available and stuff, we post them all there. So it's an awesome place to stay up to date with all of the latest news about Arrow. You can send us email, mail@quiverpodcast.com. And you can follow us on Twitter. It's at Quiver Podcast, as well as on Facebook, facebook.com/Quiver Podcast.
Basically, Quiver Podcast everything. Yep. Just remember Quiver Podcast.
YouTube.com/Quiver Podcast.
Yeah, we're on all the social medias.
Yeah.
It's good. And we also have our own personal, I tweet a lot at Akonkin, A-K-O-N-K-I-N. That's me.
And I'm at Arkwulf, A-R-K-W-U-L-F. And I've gotten better about tweeting. Mm-hmm. I actually do tweet specific things now.
It's good. I have a lot of followers from Quiver, which is awesome. Yeah. I now have more followers than I follow on Twitter, and I feel like that's winning a certain amount of life. So I just think it's really cool. So it encourages me to tweet more about Quiver and about Arrow, because I know that there are people that are specifically interested in having those conversations, and I really like having those conversations. Totally. So, you know, talk to me on my Twitter, and I'll have a conversation about Arrow.
It's and good. So next week, no episode, but we'll be back the week after with The Man Under the Hood.
Very exciting.
So until then, we'll see you guys soon.
Okay. Stay sharp, Arrowheads. Love the Mindy Project. I don't even care what you and Crystal say. It was on hiatus for a really long time, and it came back, and I was so worried that they were going to screw it up. It was hilarious. I laughed out loud for like the first 3 minutes, because it was like the main...
If there's anything that a network does, it puts shows that they have faith on extended hiatus.
Yeah, but it's coming back next season. Like, it's been renewed.
Yeah, no, I know it's been renewed, but it's been renewed because it's a PR thing.
But it's good.
It's been renewed because it's like affirmative action.
That's it upsetting. Totally that's upsetting.
It's the truth, though. It doesn't.
Well, that's fine.
I'm talking about numbers. I'm not talking about my personal opinion of the show.
Okay.
It's the numbers. It's not a very high-rated show. It loses.
But it's good.
New Girl has dropped significantly every season.
New Girl is the worst.
And it's dropped significantly over this season, and it's the lead-in for Mindy Project.
Yeah.
And like viewers drop off because when Mindy Project comes on. Yeah. So that means that it's not doing well by the numbers, but because it has a few big names in comedy and because it's a show starring a woman and she's a different ethnicity from a white person, it's really like that's all it takes, right? Like they keep it as like a, like it's like an awards bait, like it gets Fox positive attention, right? Because then Fox can go, look, we have the Mindy Project. How many diverse programs are on NBC? they're all starring white people, right? Like, because think about it. What's on NBC?
I do not watch.
I can't think of a single show on NBC starring anybody of an ethnicity other than white, right? But Fox has that, and they have Sleepy Hollow, and they can hang their hat on both of those shows and say, and they have cult followings and say, like, the fans that are fans of this are fans partially because of this reason, right? And then it's part of their...
I guess I'm a fan because it's like to my demographic, right? It's about, mm-hmm. like, the thing is, it's about a 30-something who has her life together aside from her relationships, which I really like because, like, it's never about her, like, she's not, like, a failure. She just, like, anyways. And it's funny. Like, the thing is, they dealt with it in such a good way. I usually am not invested in the main characters, but, like, the characters got together. Like, they, like, kissed on a plane and then, like, before the hiatus... And when they brought it back, they made it hilarious. And I was so worried that it was going to get, like, dramatic in some capacity. But it was still a comedy, and it was genuine to its roots, and it just has a lot of consistency. I don't know. I talk about this crap all the time on the Arrow podcast about the
who'd
idea
she,
that, like...
Who'd she hook up with? The asshole doctor?
The main... Yeah, like...
Yeah, the asshole doctor. Well, from the first episode, he's like, I don't like you. I'm never going to like you. I'm a cool guy. Touch my hair, walk out of the room. Right? That guy.
Well, they've been building that relationship for 2 seasons.
Yeah, no, but... First episode, I turned to Crystal and went, yeah, so she's going to hook up with
obviously,
that
but that's, like, what the whole show is about. Because they're perfect!
That's... But... I don't know. To me, like, that... When you telegraph it that hard, that early on...
But it's... No, because it's about... It's not, about them, like, both being broken people. That's the whole point of the show.
Like I said, when you telegraph it that... hard that early on.
But it's,
on.
Like, a thing that's, like, obviously... Like, they bring it up all the time. Like, she'll go back... And, like, meet up with her, like, ex-boyfriends. And they're like, oh, so you're finally with that guy. And she's like, what? No, I'm not with that guy. What are you talking about? And it's, like, a thing. It's, like, obviously they're going to...
Yeah, it's a thing that, like, every other sitcom has done in the history of sitcoms. That's not interesting to me.
It's interesting to me. I like it. It's, like, it's exactly to my demographic.
It's the same thing that New Girl did with Nick and Jess. And they just broke them up because they were like, wow, the show's not funny anymore.
Well, like, that's what I was like worried about. So that's what I'm saying. So the whole purpose of me coming here is I was worried about them breaking the show. And after the hour premiere yesterday, I have faith that they're not going to break the show.
I give it time.
Because, all right, well, whatever. Sure. I'm not saying it's an outstanding comedy. I'm saying that it does exactly what I expect.
Like
of. I know. I like it. I like it.
I know. And I fault you for that.
Okay.
That's
well,
what I'm saying.
That's upsetting. But whatever. It's, I don't know. I really, anyways, every time I watch it, I'm like, yeah, I really like the Mindy Project. Because I sometimes get embarrassed by it because people are like, the Mindy Project, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I like it. I love it. It's the only thing I TiVo that I look forward to and I watch it like the day of. Like, I stayed up till 2 o'clock in the morning last night because I had my wine night. So once everybody left because nobody would watch it with me, I like sat down and like watched an hour of the Mindy Project.
You're like... It's like somebody with, like, a gambling or a drinking problem or a drug addiction. You're like, I wait until everybody else goes so that, like... So
I am addicted to television. I'm addicted to television.
Because everybody else is trying to tell you. They're trying to give you signals that what you're doing is damaging to yourself.
It's not damaging. It's not as if I hold up the Mindy Project as some sort of, like, beacon of moral righteousness and the shape of my world.
I think it's going to influence you if you're watching it with that sort of fervor.
But I watch a lot of things with that sort of fervor. The amount of times I talk about freaking Korean dramas with my friends is equal. It's sort of on par. They're in a similar situation in terms of the, like, things I get really excited about.
I don't understand it.
Well, it's exciting. It's because that's what my entertainment is supposed to do for me. That's why then I also watch Arrow and think really critically about it. I'm not going to go podcast about the Mindy Project. I don't want to give it that much thought, but I'm going to watch it. I watched it twice. I watched it, like, the whole episode through, because it was a 2-hour premiere, and then the last episode, I rewatched and then, like, fast-forwarded through the parts that I didn't want to see.
It sounds like you have thought about it quite a lot, actually.
But not in, like, a critical way.
That's a problem, because if you did, you'd be like, oh, wait, this show actually sucks.
No, but it doesn't, though. It doesn't. No, you can't say that about something you haven't seen on a regular basis.
We watched, like, the first 5 episodes, and I went, wow, this is just going to be this. Continually.
Which is fine. I'm aware of that.
She hooks up with the asshole guy, and then it's going to be the two of them constantly bickering about things.
But they're super
while they simultaneously are in love.
They're so cute.
It's exactly what they did on New Girl. Yeah. 2 seasons in, they went, oh, we're going to hook our characters up, and it ruined the show.
Well, yeah, but that's because Nick and Jess are the worst.
I don't know. I don't think so. I think they're
the reason. No, see, this is the thing. This is the thing. The reason I watched The New Girl was for Schmidt and Cece. That's why I watched The New Girl. That's the only relationship I cared about.
It's called New Girl. Not, there's no
whatever, new girl, whatever. But, like, that's why I watched the show, and then they stopped doing things with them, and I said, why aren't you doing things with the most interesting characters? Why are you focused on Jess and Nick? Like, I would have kept watching it, regardless of what happened to Jess and Nick, if they had continued to make Schmidt interesting. They screwed his character over, and then they tried to shoehorn the coach back in. Like, you can't just...
It's just Coach. He's just Coach.
I know, whatever.
I don't know why you're adding those to everybody. I don't know.
But, like, that's, I think, what happened is they started to, like, rewrite the format of the show. And I was like, why are you... It wasn't broken.
Coach coming back would have been cool for 3 episodes.
And then he...
Which is what they intended.
Yeah.
But instead, he's just there. Which means that now I don't know the other actor's name. I know it's off, like, on the tip of my tongue. The other character. I can't remember his name.
Isn't it Wilson, Schmidt, and Nick?
It's Winston.
Winston. Yeah.
You Wilson. Said Wilson.
I did.
It's so close.
That so
it was,
close.
Winston. Like, well, they
he was already a superfluous
Winston's
character.
Well, yeah, they kind of screwed to get Winston's really character in the last season.
Yeah,
but
he really did. But, like, I don't know. The thing is with Mindy Project, they brought on the dude that was in the thing that Coach was on, the other show, what was it, Happy Endings or whatever? Yeah. They brought in the guy from that onto Mindy Project, and he's like comedic gold. He's doing such a good job. He's playing the bro doctor. And what they've done is they've recognized that the other, like, asshole British doctor now doesn't have that much of a, like, responsibility. He's not the interesting character anymore. Mm-hmm. So they've stopped using him. Like, he'll come in and he's like the head of the, like, thing, but he doesn't need to be in every plot, and they're using him perfectly. They realize that his function as a, like, a comedic character has been replaced now with this new bro doctor, and he just does a better job. Have they
replaced Mindy with someone else yet?
She's so good. Like, she's the lead
she's
of the show.
She's so annoying.
She's so annoying. I love her. That's, like, she's the perfect so amount annoying. Of annoying. She's the exact amount of annoying that the show was written for. Because she's bounced out by all... They always have at least one other plot line that's, like, Morgan doing something goofy.
She was in, like, maybe 10% of The Office, and she was annoying on that.
Well, I like
Like, she would ruin any well, episodes she, that were little, centered around her.
It was repetitive in The
sure,
Office.
Sure, but episodes that centered around her, I would be like, this is terrible. I want to watch something else.
Well, that's upsetting. Really?
I'm not a fan. She's so one note. Like, it's just, it's monotonous. Like, it's just the same thing over and over and over. And it just, like, it's funny once, it's a chuckle the second time, and by the third time you're like, really? Is that all you got? It's the same with Jess on New Girl, because she does something cutesy with her big eyes and her oversized glasses and her bangs, and I'm like, that's not interesting anymore.
Yeah.
Like,
I guess the thing with Mindy Project is that they have enough interesting stuff surrounding Mindy that she can be one note, and I'm okay with it, because, like, I don't know, and it's also one of the only shows where I am actually invested in the main character of the show. Like, she is a conduit through which I watch the television show. And that usually doesn't happen, because the straight men of the series are usually the other people. The show doesn't have a straight man.
I think the problem is that I want more out of my comedy now, because ever since getting, like, HBO and Movie Central, which gives us access to Showtime shows and that sort of thing, ever since I sort of stepped into that world and I watch shows like Californication, it's like, this comedy is, like, How I Met Your Mother just ended, and, like, I'm thankful that it's finally over, because I made it, like, there was
Did you
no
actually
investment.
Made it all the way to
yeah,
the end?
Yeah, we watched the whole thing.
Wow.
So it was an investment, and we still watch Big Bang Theory.
Really?
And we still watch, Crystal still really likes Modern Family. I'm not as big of a fan of it anymore, because it's really... It's monotonous at this point.
It's the same stuff.
I can telegraph... Like, we start an episode, and within the first 5 minutes, I can tell you how every single storyline's going to play out.
Right.
Like, it's so... paint by numbers, and it's so repetitive of other sitcoms that once you lock down the characters, right? Like, so the first two seasons of a lot of shows,
figuring out the characters,
it's like, okay, so how are they going to use that actor?
Right, yeah.
Like, what character are they going to slot them into? Mm-hmm. And then by the time you figured out who's Jerry and who's Elaine and who's Kramer and who's George, you're like, okay, so then this is just going to be every episode of Seinfeld. Or who's Monica, who's Chandler, who's Rachel, who's Ross, yeah. who's Joey, who's Phoebe. Okay, now I know how every episode of this show is going to play out.
Oh my gosh, Friends was on, and I'm like, this show was so good.
But that's the thing about Friends, and that's the thing about Seinfeld, is that there's nuance to them, and the episodes weren't repetitive, right? But, like, really, Modern Family, an episode's going to come on, I think it's on tonight, and it's going to come on, and...
Yeah, I started deleting it.
And you know what's going to happen? Somebody is going to do something that they're slightly ashamed of, but really effusive about. Mm-hmm. So they're going to hide it from the rest of the family. And then one other person's going to find out. And they're going to be like, oh, I love that too. Or, oh, I hate that so much. One of those two options. Like, it's just branching paths. And, and it's so easy to just see where it's going to go by knowing, like, oh, it's a story about Phil. So, it's a story about Phil. Well, if Claire is in it, then she's going to be anti-whatever Phil is about. But the end of the episode is going to be her looking at the camera and saying something akin to, you know, he's really annoying and obnoxious and stupid, but that's why I love him. And that's how the episode's going to end for their story. But if it's Phil and Haley, then it's going to be, it's going to start out as, oh, I think he's really dumb because he's my dad, but by the end of this episode, I'm going to see what makes him great.
Yeah.
Right? And the end of the episode will be either him or her looking into the camera and being like, I never really appreciated so-and-so as much as I could have. Right? Like, it's just, it's so easy to figure it out, and it was really well written in the first two seasons, but then they just keep doing the same thing.
It's, I don't know. I'm getting disillusioned with television in general. There's such a separation right now, because I think TV is at this place where you have the really pandery audience, where you can just put whatever crap is going to make them laugh and they're going to watch it. And then you have
the sophisticated audience.
I do mean the Big Bang Theory. Yeah. I mean the people like my mom, who will watch whatever drivel you put in front of them, and then she'll watch it and be like, do you like Big Bang Theory? It's about geeks. I'm like, Mom, no, it's not. It's about making fun of people that you don't understand, and you're laughing at them. Anyways. But, like, and then there's the other audience of people that expect, like, a certain amount of highbrow, like, references and pop culture and, like, awareness and, like, snappiness. And then the stuff in between is getting pulled in one direction or the other, where you'll sometimes find things on certain channels that'll go one way or the other, and certain channels I think are still trying to figure out what they are. Oh, I don't know. It's, but whatever. Let's hope that television has a bright future. I just don't understand why you can't write stuff that sort of. Oh, actually, did you see This Is the End, or the like Seth Rogen movie?
I haven't seen it yet. So, I really want to.
I did not, it was on for free, and it was, like, really late at night, and I'm like, you know what, I'm just gonna try it, I'm just gonna give it a shot.
It's on, like, Movie Central.
Yeah.
Okay.
They
I'll watch it,
though. Understand how to pander while also being smart, and
that's
it just blew me away, like, that I was like, this is really smart, but there's, like, penis jokes, and I'm like, but the penis jokes are, like, funny in a highbrow way if you analyze them a certain way. And there's, like, the whole opening section is, like, there's, like, a really interesting critique about Hollywood culture that you totally get lost as, like, a ha-ha joke if you don't, like, think about it critically. And it gave me a whole other level of respect for those guys, because I usually don't want to watch... I don't want to watch that crap. I don't care about penis jokes.
What they've managed to do is appeal to both of the audiences that you're talking about simultaneously.
Yeah.
Because it's what... And, like, to compare them to Ivan Reitman and Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis, who wrote Ghostbusters, right? I mean, Ivan Reitman directed Ghostbusters, but Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis wrote Ghostbusters. Yeah. So that, like, that creative team put it together. And the brilliant thing about Ghostbusters, the reason why it stands the test of time, the reason why it hit with adults and kids, is because there are jokes in that movie The one that I always go to is when Sigourney Weaver is possessed, right? Mm-hmm. She's got she's the gatekeeper, and she's like talking in a demon voice or whatever, and Peter Venkman shows up, and he's all like he's there for a date, really, and he expects to get laid, right? So he's showing up with flowers and everything, ready to be all charming or whatever, and she's a demon. And they're having their little conversation, and she says, like, and she's being crazy the whole time, talking about the gatekeeper, the keymaster, and whatever, and Gozer, and all that stuff. And she says, "I want you inside me," which is a very overt sex joke. And then he goes, "You know what? I think it's already a little crowded in there," right?
Yeah.
To a 5-year-old watching that movie, and I speak from experience, to a 5-year-old watching that movie, no idea what the hell's going on, right? Idea what that joke means.
Yeah.
As a 28-year-old watching that movie, one of my favorite jokes in the entire movie, right? Like, that's where, like a stoner can watch a movie like that and just be like, "The Stay Puft Marshmallow Man is so awesome. I want to be just like Slimer. I love this movie." But then, like, a highbrow comedy fan can watch it and be like, the subtlety of the performances and the intelligence with which they treat the audience, like Ray going on and on about quantum physics in like a 20-second rant, and then they're talking about the tungsten alloy superstructure of the building and stuff like that, and then Bill Murray turns in to all of the prisoners in the jail cell that they're in and goes, "Has everybody got that?" And it's like, it just, like, the balance of it is so good. And Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg, like, they get that. And it's because they grew up on that stuff, right? Like, that's what they digested, and now they're putting that back out in the world. Yeah. And it's really interesting. The Lego Movie, the guys who do the Lego movie, they did Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, and I still haven't watched it yet, but I need to, because they also did a TV series called Clone High. And
they did Clone High? Are you kidding? Clone High is the best.
And that's why Lego Movie is so good.
Oh my god, now I want to watch Lego Movie like no other. That's insane.
Have you not seen it yet?
No, I haven't.
Oh, there's something wrong with
I
you.
Know. I need to watch Lego Movie. I did not know. That's insane. Clone High is one of the best things that has ever been on television.
The rumor is that they've been tapped to direct Ghostbusters 3.
Dude.
So, Ghostbusters 3 has been in trouble for the last decade, right?
Yeah.
Like Dan Aykroyd wants to make it desperately, but nobody else cares, right? Like Ghostbusters 2 put a bad taste in everybody's mouth back in 1989.
I have no idea.
And everybody's still a little bit scared of making another Ghostbusters movie, because it's like every time you go back to the well, it by current pop culture standards, you taint the original source material.
Right.
I disagree with that. I don't think that's the case. If you make more, it doesn't really affect the first movie. Right. The first movie is good. It's like prequels ruined Star Wars. And it's like, no, they don't. They don't change anything. Right. Like, if you don't like
them,
just
ignore
them.
God, we could just tumble on forever, but I watched Divergent, and knowing how that book series ends has actually tainted the first movie for me, because I'm like, you're setting this up in such a way, because, like...
Divergent's dumb.
Well, hey...